with Marcus Maben on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Maben and Steve Rummage.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maben. 8150, 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. And throughout the pre-gaming, very, very interesting questions and conversations have been brought to my attention. So I think we have too much for too little of 2 hours. Steve Rummage is in Orlando. Nikki V is in the booth.
They want the boot.
Good evening. Or good morning. Sorry. It was a good evening last night. Sorry. I got ahead of myself.
You tried to go into the gentleman's voice and then.
And totally. This is. Yeah. I was.
dropped the ball.
That's what I was doing. I was running an offense I'm not familiar with.
Fair enough.
Marcus. Yeah. I hope Steve's having a great time in Florida. Wish him well. But last night I got artsy. And I feel like I need to brag about getting artsy.
I'm listening.
Took the missus to Anastasia. It's like one of her favorite.
When you say took the missus, does that mean you treated or you went with her?
No, I treated. It was her birthday, so I got her tickets.
Wait
to
a minute.
Go see.
How many birthday gifts? Didn't you take off work last week for her birthday? Like, are you? Does she do the 1 month celebration thing? Or are you in the doghouse?
I'm always in the doghouse. But no, it was 30. It was her 30th birthday, and Jeanette throws down on birthdays. Like, by her own admission, she's like, I can be a little bit of a birthday brat, but she also organizes birthdays. Like, for my birthday, we're playing with penguins, we're going to Topgolf. Like, I mean, she throws out all the stops. And for, like, putting up with my ass on her 30th birthday, she deserved more than one present. So, you know. So, we did one from, I tried to clean the house. So, you did one, like, you know, love languages and whatever. Like, you know. She's not so much gifts, like physical gifts. She's more like experiences.
Okay. And
so this is also her like favorite anime. I don't think it's a Disney movie, but it's like her favorite animated movie, like Anastasia.
Okay.
Like, hell, she named her dog after one of the characters.
Fair enough.
Like, and so the musical, PNC Broadway Across America, they were at the Kentucky Center.
You said it earlier.
Yeah. So we went there, and it was awesome. It was a good show. It was really good. It was fun, though, in a way. Because they had like a little audio misfire.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know. Like, that kind of, in my mind, makes the show more special. In a way. Like, you know, I mean, you don't want there to be a disaster. Like, one of the guys, like, sprains his ankles.
Right.
And, you know, or hurts himself. Or the chandelier falls and, you know.
Right.
Somebody gets fired. But there was just a little audio misfire. Like, one of the mics wasn't working. One of the PA systems went down.
And you being employed in a department where audio misfire can derail everything.
Right. Part of me wanted to stand up, be like, I know how to work some audio stuff, kind of, like, and go down there and just be like, get the hell away. Like, and I'm like, have we tried turning it off and on again? Like,
they'd kill you.
Oh, yeah, no. So, but it was good. It was a really good show. It was a really good show. Especially, I'll be honest. This is how you know me being honest. Didn't really like it at first.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little bit of a snob. I've been blessed enough to see a lot of different Broadway plays on Broadway, off Broadway. And the first act, maybe it's just because I didn't really know Anastasia that much. It's like, this is good. It's good. Like, it's good, but.
Right.
You know, it's like an ESPN 30 for 30. There's not a bad one.
Right.
But there's some you like more than others.
It's to your point on that, I have. Plays are probably one of the number one experience that I never have a bad experience.
Right.
Why don't I do them more often? But here's the thing. I'll take it a step further. I've never, you know, lady friend says, hey, you know, my niece is having a college play or something. You know what I'm saying? You want to go? And it's like, okay. You know,
right.
Like, I've never went to a college play and not enjoyed it, much less professional. So, yeah. And like you said, especially when they have accidents, when I've always said this. I enjoy to see the child fall down and then the process of getting back up and seeing. So when you have an audio issue, watching people get it back together.
Oh, yeah.
Is the fun part.
Yeah. So, yeah. To me, it wasn't. That's not a shot at the Kentucky Center. That's props to the Kentucky Center that they got it fixed as quickly as they did. It's props on the actors and actresses, or I think they're all actors now. I think that's the PC term for Anastasia to bounce right back into it. And it was awesome. And like I said, it was good. The first act, but the second act, I was in it, man. Yeah. Cried, standing ovation, all in, bro.
The text line is, I believe they're volunteering their services. It's getting disrespectful. That's often Steve is on vacation. Man, don't.
Please. What's everyone hating on Steve? Let the man live.
Yeah, I get two back-to-back Steve. Look, they want Steve for real. Is it because you miss, or are you just mad about listening to Nikki? Either way it goes.
I was going to say, it's like, should I be taking this break?
Conversation somebody asked earlier this morning. They were asking about being angry, having an angry day. Nikki, did you qualify yesterday as an angry day or just a rough start day?
Yesterday was a self-reflection day because I was so angry and annoyed. It was like, yo, this is we need to do some self-care here because I am a ball away from a three-game suspension.
Were you freaking out before you decided you had to go to do the play? Or that was a late decision?
No, honestly, after four, my day got much easier.
Oh, okay.
But I started off crappy. I was in a bad mood. Everything that went wrong could have gone wrong. I got sideways with my coworkers. And they weren't even really in the wrong. There's times when you get sideways with someone, you go, you know what? I'm in the right. You trucked up. This was not even really one of those times. But I will say this. Some people might have heard.
Nikki, that never happened.
No. But that's exactly how I felt. I was proud of that. I was like, you know what? I feel like I wasn't being a bitch.
I don't know if you're allowed to say that. You probably should dump that.
Probably should have dumped it. Yeah.
So here's the thing. Speaking of self-reflection is going to be a lot of today's show. This morning, this is why I knew, you listen to me, you know me. You know a lot of my shows start off in the traffic. Now usually I have, my page and notes, from the night and, some ideas that might be a good show. And they mesh during my commute. Usually around the time I'm hitting Gene Snyder this morning is a little bit earlier because here's what happens. I live on one of those streets that you never know if there's going to be traffic today or not, right? I live on a street, on one of those streets that have about, I have to go through about five or six red lights before I get to Gene Snyder. And like I said, you come over the hill, you might have to slam on the brakes. Because it'll be traffic. You'll just see nothing but red lights staring at your face, right? So when I come over this hill, you're just like, I hope I don't have to deal with traffic. I come over the hill, nothing, and I mean nothing but red lights. And not just the red lights, like seeing people, early in the morning, not red lights of cars being on the road. I'm talking about red lights, which means their brakes are on. So I come over the hill. I see nothing but red lights. I'm like, damn. Right. So now I'm just like, okay, Marcus, how are you? Because I get that burst. I got that initial burst of anxiety. I want you to identify this feeling. Your eyeballs are getting trained to look for keywords. Your brain picks up anxiety articles so fast. Now, over the last couple of years, you might hear something like whenever you see a little map with little red dots on it, where does your brain go instantly? We're spiking. If you see any kind of map of your city and see any little red dots on it, you're like, oh, that must be one of those lists again. It's just like your brain is being programmed that. If you get on Twitter or Facebook and you see the word violation, your brain instantly like, oh, God, what's coming up now? We are so programmed to get anxiety spikes. Listen, when I see Tim Sullivan's name and Louisville in the same article, I get this anxiety spike, right? So this is the anxiety spike that I got. I got to imagine coming over the hill and seeing IARP Louisville Rick Pitino. That's the spike of anxiety that the traffic gave me, right? So I see that and I say, not today, Marcus. Not today. And what I did is, as I'm applying my brakes and slowing down, I got my phone and I went to the stopwatch and I said, Marcus, there's a lot of traffic today. I'm gonna use my stopwatch, hit it, and I'm gonna see exactly how long it takes for me to get from this traffic light, this traffic, backed up traffic, and this light to get to the Gene Snyder. Because I'm going to find out today. This was the worst case scenario. So whatever time that this takes to get from this light to the street, I'm going to say from now on, Marcus, you don't let that anxiety come up until you get past this amount of time, right? So I hit the button, hit the stopwatch. I was in that traffic for probably 6 minutes. Six to seven minutes, right? When I looked at my stopwatch and saw it was only 6 minutes, I said, Marcus, you have been tripping over nothing. Because it was about normal. It was about normal, slow flow of traffic. It took about 6 minutes. I said, Marcus, every morning when you come around this corner, if traffic looks like this, it messes up your whole day. Or it puts you off balance. I'm like, are you telling me? Because here's the thing, y'all. If I hadn't pressed that timer this morning, and I took a test, and hey, Marcus, how long were you in traffic this morning? I said probably extra 25 minutes. If I hadn't timed myself in my brain, I would have thought I was in traffic an extra 25 minutes. I was in traffic an extra 6 minutes. So then I realized you can't make these mountains out of these molehills. Oh, but only by gauging the time. I know. So now traffic is not going to be an issue. I know school is starting back too, though. I guess I should try. Once you get a full street of buses out there, I'll run that time again and see. Yep. But I just don't get stuck behind a lot of buses. So, but I guess I right when school fully
don't
starts back.
It. Yeah.
I'll check it out. But point being, those quick anxiety spikes. I'm like, okay, Marcus, now you're gonna have to start monitoring your full anxiety spikes, and then start saying, okay, Marcus, where are you going to apply this new, you know, this new behavior? Ooh, this is giving me anxiety. Watching North Carolina spring game football players look bigger than ours. A recent anxiety spike I got. I'm getting excited about football season. I'm starting to look at other teams. That's how I know I'm getting excited about football season. I don't want to see any of my players that transferred anywhere else either. I'll just throw that out there right now. The other day, I saw a Clemson photo, right? I saw a Clemson photo of the lineman, right? And I had anxiety spike. We don't look like them. We don't look like them. Then I started going back over our team. I was like, we kind of do. They probably got three guys that look different beast mode. Who was that Baylor guy? Who was that Baylor guy? This is a quick football head trivia question. I don't want you to look it up, Nikki.
Oh, there's no way I'm going to get it then.
Okay, Nikki.
I already got Baylor football in the Google search.
Nikki.
Even though I'm quickly
a couple of years ago, probably 4 to 5 years ago, there was a Baylor football player, and he took a picture. Right? He looked like
Sean Oakman.
You looked it up, Nikki?
I told you. There's no way I was going to get it.
Wait,
I'm sorry.
What did you punch in?
Baylor football jacked. And my God, that man looks like Aaron Darnold.
Sean Oakman. What is his bio? Like, what is his resume?
Let's see.
Please type in his name. I want to know his name.
Sean Oakman.
Did he play NFL football?
Like Aaron Donald. Good Lord. Cut Aaron Donald.
He was a freak. And he was just like, you're my nightmare. Everybody on every other team looks like Sean Oakman.
Oh, plays for the Toronto Argonauts. Okay. CFL.
CFL.
Has been a member of the Triangle Torch and the West Virginia Rough Riders of the American Arena League.
He never made the league?
Played for the LA Wildcats of the XFL.
Wait a minute. Did he get in trouble, though?
Let's see what personal life says. Personal life. Crap.
He might have caught a charge.
This could be. On February 25th, 2012, Oakman was involved in an incident in Penn State Dining Hall and was eventually charged by PSU police with disorderly conduct, harassment, and retail theft.
Penn State? He transferred to Penn State?
He transferred from Penn State
to Baylor.
According to police, Oakman fled the scene after shoving a cashier who refused to return his student ID over unpaid items.
I didn't know anything about that.
In Waco in 2013, allegedly physically assaulted a woman. Not good. And in 2016, he was arrested in Waco and charged with sexual assault. So I think we figured out why he's not in the NFL. He was found not guilty, however.
Yeah, Texas, you did a great job hitting the song. But yeah, my point, even bringing that name up, was he is what I made Clemson. A bunch of Sean Oakmans. He's what I made.
Good Lord, 6'9", 287. Dude is specimen.
And here's the other thing. I made him Oakman, but then I realized I've always did that to myself. I've always, in the offseason, I've made every other basketball player are just like working and living in the gym nonstop. And they're getting stronger, and they're getting bigger, and they're getting faster. So I always felt like I was behind the eight ball in the offseason. Mike Tyson says that speech, too. He says, Mike Tyson always says, when he's in a locker room, he's scared to death before a fight. This is Mike Tyson. I'm scared to death in the locker room. I think I didn't train hard enough. This guy's going to kill me. He's literally going to kill me when I get out there. He said he enters the arena, and he can look across the arena and get a glimpse of him. And he says, you know, then he starts kind of reminding himself, okay, I just got to, don't let him hit me. You know, I just got to go in there and be ready to fight. It's too late to turn around. He said he gets closer to the ring, starts making eye contact. Then he starts saying, okay, it's on. He gets closer. He says when he gets to the ring, he said, I feel like a god. When he gets to the ring,
dude, that's something we could do. I mean, we're leaving summer topics, but the top 10, top 5, whatever, best sports entrances. I mean, I would put just off the dome, Enter Sandman by both Mariano Rivera and Virginia Tech.
Chicago Bulls Jordan intro.
Chicago Bulls Jordan intro is number one in my humble opinion. But Mike Tyson's entrances when he was at his
with
prime.
With the cut towel?
The cut towel. It wasn't even like necessarily a song. It was just that like foreboding music and the rattling of chains. And it was just basically, I mean, you know, he didn't have the flashy robe.
Top,
it was just.
Top intros. So you're saying Virginia Tech. They did a good job with the camera work, too, at Virginia Tech. I think they really.
They sell that giant. Yeah. It makes it look like it's the biggest arena. Yeah. You know.
Yeah. Then Wisconsin got a good one, too, to jump around.
Wisconsin's got a good one. I mean, Clemson, they you know, run down the hill. That's a good one, too. I mean, Notre Dame has
Clemson,
a good
once that dude tore his ACL at Clemson, it started to look like the stupidest thing ever.
I mean. It took a little luster off. That's fair.
It took it was like, no, y'all look stupid now. You walk down that hill from now on. Nobody runs down this hill no more. Yeah, they blew it. they blew it.
Honestly, anything the Golden Knights do, Steve's hockey team, because it's in Vegas.
I have no idea.
It is literally a Vegas production. Like every entrance, they do stuff that lights into the ice. They have guys dressed as Spartans. It's
Bulls was epic.
Bulls is number one in my humble opinion.
Let me ask you this: last year, wasn't there like a 3D Jaguar going through the stadium or something at Jacksonville?
Oh, they did. I think that was, yes, and I think they did also like this 3D thing on the TV. That was
okay.
Yeah, no, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was
They had something that was pretty cutting edge.
Whatever that was awesome. Yeah, Bulls interest was ridiculous.
Trying to think of other closers. Edwin Diaz, a guy that I've absolutely crapped on along with most of New York for a while. For New York, he's their closer. The Mets closer. Been awesome the past 2 months. He's got this like Spanish trumpet intro.
You're the king of rabbit holes. Ooh. John Rocker.
Well, just because he was a villain. He had like the ultimate like heel entrance. Everyone in New York wanted to kill him. With good reason. The guy was a DB.
Listen,
I'm not talking defensive back.
Listen, I'm a Southern guy. John Rocker was the man.
Get the hell out of here.
All
of my friends.
I realize you're a New Yorker now.
I was in Connecticut, and there's a kid on my team, Anthony Colangelo. How you doing? We would play MLB baseball, whatever the one at the time was, and basically half the game was just Mets versus Braves and us pegging John Rocker in the head with 90-mile-an-hour fastballs. That was basically...
That's not good.
When you're 13.
Undertaker.
Okay, no, all right. Wrestling doesn't count.
No.
Because wrestling, I mean, there's a million great ones.
No.
Sports entertainment.
It's not
right. The entrances are amazing.
No, it's not. It doesn't matter if you're 13. Throwing fastballs at a pitcher you don't like is evil on a baseball game.
In a video game?
Yes, in a video game. That means you're not wired right. You and your friend are not wired right.
This. Of all the things, you're going to die on this hill. We always talk about, like...
Pegging, like, hitting.
Not that type of pegging.
I know.
It's a video game.
Hitting a pitcher with a fastball for thrills on an MLB baseball video game.
They all look the same. It was blocky. It was N64.
Man, I saw a meme. It just has been a rabbit hole segment.
I know. I'm sorry.
No, listen. I saw a meme. It's the best meme I've seen in a long time. Maybe forever. It showed like a 2007 graphic of a video game player, and it said like 15-year-old me. This graphic is so realistic. I don't know how we'll ever top this. And it was like,
it was Stone Cold.
Yeah, that's exactly the one.
It's just basically like a really crappy face and goatee
I saw it, I was like, I do remember thinking, how can you improve on this?
Right.
On this Madden or on this college? Like, no, this is real. Lord Vader.
Well, yeah, and movies and stuff. I'm talking sports entrances, and I love wrestling. I love wrestling, but you got to keep that one separate because there's a million great ones, and it's sports entertainment, and you know.
Bulls.
Bulls is number one.
Bulls. It's Bulls.
Yeah. I will say, turns out he was juiced, but I loved him. Eric Gagne for the Dodgers back in the day. He was unreal. Again, turns out he was kind of juiced.
John Rocker was the guy running in.
Yeah, he would
crazy.
Like he would sprint in from and he was good. I mean, you know, you got to give the devil his due. He just said some stupid crap.
He's
and I didn't want him to get pegged in real life.
He was opinionated,
but in the video games, nothing wrong with that. A little how you doing?
Sports,
but not. I have to reiterate. I do not condone hucking balls at people's heads in real life. That's how you can end a career or end a life. That's not cool. Video games are totally acceptable.
It is not acceptable.
It's totally acceptable.
When
we play video games where you blow people up.
We're going in-depth football nerd conversation. We're going nerd conversation basketball. So the athlete first crowd, stay tuned. Quick commercial break. Middays with Marcus Maben on 93.9 The Ville. hate Jack Grossman. I hate Jack Grossman. Jack, I hope you're listening. If you're listening right now, listen. My mother, God rest her soul, she taught me early never to say you hate people. You leave that sound up.
I was hoping it was going to be Will Perdue, but it's the 97 finals. So. Big Cherry made a return that game. Game 6. 97.
I hate Jack.
Great coach, terrible GM.
Jack!
Zen master my ass.
Jack! You don't know anything. Today is the day I officially become that guy.
I'm serious. You know
what's
this now?
You know what? I'm done talking to you. I'm done talking to Jack. I'm not sitting in here debating with Jason.
Are you turning heel?
Steve may just be this year old enough for me to continue to debate with him. I'm not. How old are you, Nikki?
About to be 33.
I'm not. How old is Jack?
I think he's 25.
I'm not arguing 24. With anybody under 33 years old, Nikki. I'll let you in the door. I'm not arguing with anybody under 33 years old about anything sport. Y'all, the people in here listening, I know y'all like Jack and you're wondering why I hate Jack right now. You may have missed, again, myself and Jack, we had an exchange. My God. This young punk said to me, I can have an opinion on Michael Jordan because I watched the YouTube highlights. Could y'all imagine working in a sports radio world where some young punk who's smart, he's really smart, but him saying to me that he's allowed to have an opinion and a debate with me, I said, Jack, you've never watched an entire game from start to finish. I bet he's never even watched a full intro. And now, from North Carolina.
I mean, it's legendary. It's iconic.
It's iconic. And he did that for years and years. And you got that. What? I can't argue with y'all. I can't. I just can't do it. I just can't do it anymore. I'm sorry. That totally derailed me. That was a good feeling, though. That was good. You want to know what we were supposed to be talking about before I got derailed?
Sorry.
Nikki, I'm giving you a quick, you know, this is kind of a rapid-fire question.
All right, I'm listening.
What position on the football field, and you don't have to give the disclaimer that you're not the football savant that Steve is. What position is the easiest fixable position on the football field? On the defensive end.
Defensive.
What I'm asking you is, if you're going to get transfers, what position on a football field do you think can be fixed the quickest?
I mean, maybe linebacker? Because you need big butt linemen.
81-50, 93-9. There is no wrong answer.
I know, but like, I'm second guessing because they're kind of like the captains of the defense. Like, those are guys that.
The linebacker's the quarterback?
Yeah, kind of, right?
81-50, 93-9 is the number. 38-31, 93-9 is the text line. What position on the defensive side of the ball do you think is the quickest, easiest fix through the transfer portal? By the way, Speaking of the transfer portal, Nikki, I didn't get to read this out loud. I just want to read this out loud really quick because this what is it, factor cap? Can we play one of those or something? I'm gonna read this to you, Nikki, and I want you to is it factor cap? Right, 2021-2022 transfer portal breakdown. Freshman. 336 Division I players are still in the portal. 713 went in total. Sophomore, 191 Division I players are still in the portal. 447 total went in. Juniors, 208 Division I players are still in the portal. 504 went in. So they're saying 336, quick math. Oh, good. Whoa. There's a lot of Division I players still in the transfer portal.
I'm going to say that's fact, though, man. I mean, any number I've heard, I don't think that's cap. I think that's
type
fact.
In right now how many players remaining in transfer portal. Could you imagine having a Division I scholarship and entering the transfer portal and not getting picked up? I mean, you just broke up. That's like breaking up with and hitting the open market and getting a dose of reality. Are you getting any numbers?
I'm looking, and I'm not getting any hard figures yet. It just keeps giving me lists of like the top players remaining.
A buddy, Chris, he sent me this. And there may be a Twitter transfer portal for playing time. Is the Twitter account? Is that real?
All right. Let's see the Athletic college football transfer portal live updates. Less than a day ago. Let's see here. It's loading.
756. Of the 1,700 Division I players that entered the portal have not found a new home. 43% of the players that entered the portal. Y'all better stop panicking about the transfer portal. Because after these numbers start being blasted out there, this means either tampering is going to ramp up. This is the 43% have not found a new home. 47% of the freshmen that transferred. That means a lot of y'all thought y'all could play.
They're still shopping around, you think, maybe?
No. No.
It's a wake up call. Like, hey, ooh, you're good, but you ain't that guy.
If I'm the NCAA, I start talking about this right now. I start doing commercials, anti-transfer portal commercials. You know what I'm saying? Y'all better get some newfound appreciation. Division I scholarship players. 43% have not found a new home.
That is insane. That is insane. But I mean, maybe like you're kind of saying like it's good reason. You know what I mean?
Yep,
like I mean, there's a reason that these guys haven't found a home yet. Because
okay. I'm getting some answers. Shut down cornerback.
That's the easiest one to replace?
The secondary is the glue of all defenses.
So it's leaning like they agree with my answer on linebacker. And I'm not saying it's easy, but maybe it's just because I'm using Louisville as a sample size. They add Momo Sanogo. We've been spoiled with Jair and Keytrell Clark.
Okay, does Jair, is he the, but he's so good, it's hard to use him as an example. Like, he's the highest paid cornerback in the NFL.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we've been spoiled by those two, so it's kind of stood out that those guys are special. And you've oftentimes been talking about you've oftentimes talked about the big butt lineman. I mean, that's, you can't teach size. That's one of those things.
What?
So that's why I'm kind of going with.
But here's the thing. If you get one of the big butt lineman transfers and plug him right in the middle, your team, like, it makes, like, think about this. If you get one big dog internal defensive lineman that can be a problem, it makes your cornerbacks better. It makes your safety better. It makes everybody better instantly.
Right.
But if you get, okay, I don't want to overstate shutdown corner, because a shutdown corner can take away, it's kind of like in the pros, you can take away a receiver. In college, a shutdown, I mean, you still got to be able to get pressure, though. Because if the best cornerbacks in the world can't guard more than 5 seconds.
Right, right. Eventually, the guy's going to break free. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So your pressure up front, if you're capable of getting two interior big butt linemen, I think you change the game.
100%.
Yeah, so.
You got to get pressure on the quarterback. So, but your question was, as you plug back in, your question was, what's the easiest to replace, right?
Who's the easiest to replace?
The easiest to replace. And I think with what we're saying, it is the linebackers, with respect. Now, I do think that those are ones that probably need to be there for a little while because, I mean, they're kind of the captains. I mean, the glue might be the secondary, as the texters say, and the ones that can have the most immediate impact might be your pass rush, but
so,
I mean, the
okay.
captains,
so the most,
the leaders, the leader, okay, the leaders of the offense are what? The center and the quarterback, right?
Okay, did you just make this statement? The position that can make the biggest immediate impact?
Pass rush.
It's got to be the pass rush.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
It's got to be a pass rush.
Has to be. You can mess up the tempo. I mean,
I wonder. What? So you would think fewer or more pass rushers in the portal than cornerbacks and safeties?
Man, I'd say fewer.
Because here's the thing.
I'd say fewer.
Okay, I'm on a team, right? What position can I blame the coach for? Pass rushers can't blame the coach. They can't blame the system the same way a cornerback can. I don't know. Because if you're getting cooked, you're getting cooked at the cornerback spot. I don't know. I feel like it's like being a center in basketball. If I'm Sidney Curry, but he's a terrible example too. Because Sidney Curry, yeah, at the center position, it's like you should be able to go get your own points. You should be able to go get a lot of buckets on your own around the basket through rebounding and inside play. I totally drug myself down a rabbit hole. If you get a pass rusher, there's probably none on the open market. That's probably the position we'll take a chance on. 1,000 big boy pass rushers.
Yeah.
Then corners.
I'd agree with that.
Because there's a 1,000.
Which, I mean,
fast, short corners.
Which kind of amplifies the pickup of, I feel like we're being influenced a little bit by what Louisville's done in the transfer portal.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, the Jermaine Lole signing, I mean, I feel like that's, we're proving the point, what a big pickup that was.
I mean,
was he? Correct me if I'm wrong. And this way, I would defer to Patty or Blank or Rummage, the guys that speak more fluently football recruiting. But wasn't he like the top ranked
even
defensive lineman in the transfer portal?
Even on three.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Even on three, which means he's like,
got the Teflon on three. Yeah.
That means if he gets them vouching for him. I guess it had, but here, oh God. So then I have to ask this question naturally. This is going to be a Brian Brown question. Yesterday we did the game. What would you ask the coaches? This is one question. I got to ask Brian Brown. But he's going to give me a generic answer, Nikki. I'm going to get him on the show soon, right?
Good.
And I'm going to let Steve ask every other question but this one. Without giving away the game plan, coach, 3rd and 12, are you backing up your cornerbacks because you think they're going to get burnt, or do you just not think you're going to get any pressure? What was your biggest difficulty last year? Cornerbacks being able to play closer? Because he did mention it in yesterday's presser. What's your biggest flaw from last year? Not being able to press up on wide receivers or getting to the quarterback faster? That was the chicken or the egg conversation, Nikki, that I was trying to have. Because, like, coach, I got to know. Because I like Ashton, and I like some of the players he had on his team. I feel like we should have got some.
Mm-hmm.
We should have been able to play close on these receivers.
I mean, yeah.
But if your receivers can't cover.
I remember most of the grumblings, and again.
Generic, you know, yeah, just generic complaints.
As, you know, guy speaks conversational football.
For people listening, I asked Nikki to think of some generic brand complaints about the football team. So I'm gonna sacrifice myself on any of your generic complaints. Any generic complaints Nikki has today, they all came through me, right, or my suggestion. I'm listening.
Well, I mean, I think one of them I heard was why are they only rushing three? Like, I mean, that was a complaint that I heard a lot of. Now, it was effective against Florida State, but I mean, there were a lot of times, especially in those games that the snake-bitten games, the 50-50 games, the games that they lost down the stretch, the UVA game, that people were saying, do something different. And that was the one that people pointed to the most.
Go ahead and play out. I want this answer. I want the masses. While we're on commercial break, I'm going to read everybody's text messages. Chicken or the egg? Pass rush? I want a general audience vibe. I want a fan base vibe. DBs, linemen, or the three men or three linemen. Like, do you think if you just rushed four, because it's like a scheme thing, if you think it's just a three rusher scheme, do you think we didn't have enough pass rush, just pure pass rush, or you think it was our DBs? I told you, I'm going down the nerd rabbit hole of football and basketball today, and I don't even care.
We could put it up a poll, I mean, if you want.
We might have to do that.
Mark, you know, it is Marcus Maven Twitter poll.
93.9 The Ville.